Hello again. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to be privileged to witness the baptisms of four people this morning. And it's always special to see people make that commitment. And I think it's helpful, before we do baptism, to sort of remind each other what it is and what it's not. So I will share briefly with you what I often do with the class that meets for baptism. And I often say that you can pretty much summarize everything you need to know about baptism in one word. And that's the word baptism, which is an acronym for various words that help us understand what baptism is all about. So let me run through it with you. It won't take long. And for some of you, it'll just be a review. And reviews are good. And maybe some of you will hear something for the first time that will maybe turn on a light for you. So baptism, the B stands for belief. Baptism is about belief, that we believe that we're a sinner, that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. Sin has a penalty. It's eternal death. That he paid that penalty, rose from the dead, and he offers forgiveness and salvation and eternal life for anyone who will accept his offer of a free gift. It's a free gift. We don't earn it. But we can turn it down if we choose. But if we receive that gift, then he gives us eternal life as a promise and something we can look forward to and even enjoy now, because eternal life is, after all, eternal. So the B is for belief. Those who are being baptized have a belief that Jesus is their Savior. The A is for action. Now, it's very important what you believe, right? You agree with that? But it's also important to act on what you believe. So when you're baptized, you're saying, this is what I believe, and I'm doing something to confirm that I believe that. And it's an action. It isn't just saying something, it's doing something. The P is for public. Now, this is public, right? We're all gathered together, and this is not a private ceremony. This is a public ceremony. It would make about as much sense to have a private baptism with no one there but the person being baptized and the one doing it, as having a birthday party with just yourself, or a wedding with no one there. So the idea is that it's public, so people join in with you and experience that alongside you. The T is for testimony. Baptism isn't just a ceremony, it's also a testimony. It's a testimony of one's faith in Christ and their desire to commit to both him and to the body of Christ as is in the church. The I is for identification. Baptism doesn't save anyone. Never did, never will. But baptism identifies the person being baptized with Christ, first of all, and second of all, with the church, his body. Just like a police officer's uniform identifies them as a police officer, or a soldier's uniform identifies them as a soldier, so when someone is baptized, when they go under the water and come back up, it identifies them with the body of Christ and with Jesus himself. The S is for symbol, which is similar to identification, but it's not quite the same. Baptism is symbolic. It's a ceremony, and ceremonies symbolize something. What does it symbolize? Three main things. One is it symbolizes cleansing. Makes sense, right? It's water. What are we cleansed from? Our sins. The water doesn't cleanse us. The water symbolizes that Christ cleanses us through our faith. It also symbolizes death. Just as Christ died for sin, we die spiritually with him, really already dead spiritually, but it symbolizes it. And then when we come up out of the water, it symbolizes rebirth or new life. And then there's M. The M stands for mission. When a person becomes a Christian, they have a mission in life. They embark on a mission to be a channel, a conduit of God's grace to other people. Now, you know the nature of a conduit or a channel. It doesn't have any power of its own. It is a conduit of power. So if you're talking about an electrical wire, wires don't have power. It's the electricity that flows through the wire. Or a pipe doesn't have power, but the water that flows through it has the power. So we are, and 2 Corinthians says, we're like pots. We're like jars of clay that hold things, and the analogy is that we as believers are like channels through whom God's power flows. We don't have the power in and of ourselves, but we are conduits through whom the power of God can flow through us to other people. So, that's what baptism is. Belief. Action. Public. Testimony. Identification. Symbol. And mission. Good job. Gave most of you an A. So, all right. So, at this point, I'm going to get closer to the baptistry than I am now. And again, we have four people that are going to be baptized. And the first one is Caleb Smith. So, Caleb, whenever you're ready, let me see. Yes, that's the first thing we need. Yes, and hang on to that, and I'm going to get you a stand. Okay, I'll take that. About right? The rest of you just do this? Okay. Okay, now you can stand up straight. Okay, good.
Well, good morning. My name is Caleb Smith. As many of you could probably guess, I was born and raised in a Christian household. I soon began to accumulate biblical knowledge and acted like a young Christian should. Although I'm not certain of the day and the hour, I know I was a believer from an early age. It's funny, but I remember first accepting Christ through a Star Wars Jedi club that my brothers had. I'm not sure how lightsabers and the gospel were related, but through that club, I remember praying to ask Jesus into my heart. However, nothing in my day-to-day after making the decision to follow Christ really changed. Over the years, as I began to solidify my faith, one of my biggest concerns was that I had a rather uninteresting testimony. My life was on a solid path. I loved the Lord and longed to grow closer to Him, but I felt like I had nothing to say. In the summer of 2013, I went to Northern Frontier Camp, which, for those of you who don't know, is a Christian boys camp in the Adirondacks. I told one of my counselors about what I was thinking, and he gave me a really interesting response. He said that just having that yearning, that desire to follow Christ, was my testimony. It may not be as dramatic as some people's, but it was genuine, and it was mine. My testimony is that I've recognized him as a sinner. Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, and I accepted Christ's forgiveness, being promised an eternity with him. I knew I was called to be baptized, but I delayed it for years. I was scared of talking in front of a crowd, and sometimes unsure of my faith. But I imagine I'll always feel a bit unnerved talking in front of a crowd, and now I know where I stand in Christ. I'm saved, and I want the world to know.
Amen.
platform. That's not able to stand.
Barry, can you move closer to the mic?
Yes, I can. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I've attended Grace for a little over a year and a half. Learning so much about Christ and God and basically a community as a church and a whole. So against anything that I believed prior to a year and a half. I grew up Roman Catholic. I attended CCD. I had to go through everything. It's more of a thing that you had to do versus really having to understand it, more or less just getting out of school early for me. It's just the way it was, and I didn't really take in anything. And going through life not knowing, right and wrong, or you're pretty much living at the rules of this world, but you don't usually have a good outcome. But what made seeing gained throughout my life was there was a connection to God, and any time that I had big problem in my life, I don't know why or how, but I turned to him. One of the significant things for me was when my mother passed away when I was 15, although there was no solid belief there, I did believe. I was very upset, and I think that took some time to get over it and heal, knowing that there was a connection there, and I just couldn't understand it. With that being said, even though after I was married and my life continued and things happened, and I went through life struggles, I would still continue to pray. I would just do it. And even as a teenager, I even sought out confession because I thought that I needed to do something to weigh myself. But even at that point, it didn't stick. Going through life, making decisions on the whim, no real barrier to really make anything. Then I went through life and I had two beautiful children, which changed the game. Obviously, I wasn't living just for me anymore. I was making some selfish decisions that were definitely benefited. But I knew that I wanted to be a better person. But like I said, no real boundaries. Didn't do it. I just didn't. Kept making bad decisions, paying the consequences, like what happens. Recently, like a year and a half ago, one of my bad decisions that turned me into one night call with a good friend, Matt, from Booth. And we were discussing decisions that I made. Really just started talking scripture to me. Anything that I had to say is, just to understand God. And he said, well, consider this. You read something in the book. And I said, you got a lot of information, man. I said, I'd really like to speak to whoever you're speaking with. And we set up a day. It was February 16th, it was a Saturday. I had the privilege of meeting Wes Smith. I was broken, I was down. There wasn't really much where I knew where to turn. I tried everything on my own, that wasn't working. And I was cynical, I met with Wes, we got to go back and forth because I was like, well, what about this? And everybody knows Wes, and he got that grin on his face. But that's what I needed. I needed, because every time I asked a question, I could feel something growing. And right then and there, I professed my love for Christ and that he was going to save me. It's only by God's grace that someone like that could love me. I knew that. And he said a prayer, and he looked at me and said, this is going to be the toughest thing you've ever gone. And still to this day, it's an understatement. That next time you say something, you really need to let them know that it's a tough thing being a Christian. You wake up every morning, same problem that you had yesterday, but now you have a different way of going about it, which go against everything that you want your initial responses, and that's tough. It's really tough when you have to put it like that. So that your initial response is usually always wrong, and you need to take the time. And, like Bob says, need to get, as much information as you can from your brothers and sisters in Christ to make the right path. And I have that now. And I'm so happy. The community here has been great. I've gotten to know people in the Grace Community Church that help me every day. We'll see the text message, just that word of encouragement. And it lets you know that he's working, you know, because, you know, I am a police officer, and I do get to see small acts of God every day, and you have to keep your eyes open to notice them, because, you know, if you can only just survive, and Wesley said, if you're not reading every day, it's an open window, open door, you know, to separate, so you need to constantly see what your main goal is, that, you know, God loves you, Christ died for you, and you need to keep pressing forward that you should every day. And so today is just one more step for me, for everyone taking Christ in this time.
He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep.
to gain what we can lose. Thank you.
God is first, and I have a relationship with Christ grow stronger every day. my Savior and that He has forgiven me of my sins, I choose to live a life that pleases Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Today I will be baptized as a true follower of Christ.
Amen. To that end, we pray.